Well, the loss shines once again.
Hey there.
Oh.
Hi there.
Greetings. For the good of all.
Bromkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello and welcome to Control Alt WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Sunday, June 8th. 2008. This is episode 66, entitled Double Ding. I'm Aprillian, your host, and with me is my co-host, Asheo. Good morning, Asheo.
Good morning, Aprillian. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. And you?
Excellent.
And by the way, this is our weekly podcast that we put out every week. That was a guildmate who said it was every other week, but if you check our iTunes, it's every week.
We're pointing at you, Tark.
Yes. Let's get started.
How will this benefit me?
Okay, so it's been a good week in Azeroth, don't you think?
It has been, for me in particular.
This episode, we're going to talk about some add-ons that we like for alt, particularly alt inventory. And of course, we're going to do what we do.
Arc inventory?
Yeah. Arc inventory.
Yep.
And then we're going to talk about what we did this week. And we have some emails. So, you want to get started? Who should go first?
Let's do it. I think it's your turn to go first.
Okay. So, I wanted to see BRD, or I've always get this confused. It's BRD, which is Black Rock Depth, and BRS, which is Black Rock Spires, but it's all part of Black Mountain. And
yep, Black Rock Mountain. Yep.
Yeah. And this used to be the end game before the Burning Crusade.
Well, up in near Black Rock, you know, upper and lower Black Rock Spire. Is the end game instance, but it's not actually in there. It's,
it's in that
area. Well, Molten Core is down the bottom. Having a mind spasm at the moment. Can't remember what the one up the top is. Help me out, people. Everyone's shouting it at me.
It's not Black Rock Spire. It's something else.
No, Blackwing Lair.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I really just wanted to go into some instances with triple boxing. And last week, I think I mentioned that I had gone into the ramparts and died a lot. So then I became intrigued with Blackrock Spire, or Blackrock Death. And right after our recording last week, Asheo very nicely took me into Black Rock Depth, which is funny because you have to do a lot of walking down chains and going through this whole thing. And I guess back in the day, all these mobs, when you finally got down into the, before the entrance of Black Rock Depth, were elite. Were they?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would get down there, and the first thing I do, there's this fire guy, Python something.
Yep.
Is a flaming elemental.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at the entrance, and we kill him. Were you still with me at this point? I don't remember.
Yeah, we killed him twice in a row, and we didn't have a Tyler.
Right, this fiery cloak thing dropped off, which was funny. I later found out that that's the actual cloak that Aprillian was wearing. But the pattern was a blue pattern, and it was bind on pickup. And it was very frustrating because I had everybody else there except Aprillian. It was a level 275 pattern, but it still would have been nice for her to have it. And it dropped twice, and Milfire picked it up, and Aunt Rilia picked it up, and neither one of them are tailors. Although, you know, I've respected Aunt Rilia before, so I could drop mining and level up tailoring on a level 63 character. Oh, what fun. So then I don't know if you stuck around, but Aprilian and Millfire and Aunt Relia tried again and again to kill him.
Once you go to Tyler there, it doesn't drop.
No, no. a black diamond dropped a couple of times. That was nice. And eventually, though, it did drop, and she got it. I think maybe after she was hanging out. Yeah. So we went in, and one day, the first day, I think maybe that was the Tuesday after, Gofen, who is one of our guildies that was at the same level as Aprilian. It's funny when you do triple box like I do, and you do the whole alt thing, and you... You feel almost like when you're starting off with people that you're in, like, school, and they're at your level, and you can hang out with them, and then eventually, if you don't keep up with the leveling, people start passing you by, and you feel like you're back in school, and you've gotten left back or something, because all the cool kids that you were in class with are now, you know, moved on to the next grade level.
So do you like feel like a 30-year-old in a grade 6 class or something?
Yes, exactly. But I don't mind, because I don't know. I get these things in my head with World of Warcraft. All of a sudden, I wanted to just see Black Rock Death. And you know, Aprilian's 59. Real Fire is 61 or 60, and Aunt Relia is 63. So only every once in a while, if we happen to kill a level 51, does Aprilian even get XP? In fact, at one point she started running low on shards, and she was like, "Save that 51," you know, because Gofen was a mage, and mages, I mean. I really have to get my mage back out and start leveling her because they're very powerful.
Mages kill things fast.
Yes, and they have an AoE that you blink and like, it's dead. Where did it go? You know, you're looking for it and it's laying there dead. So, and the funny thing was, the following day, Wednesday, I was still in there because, you know, once I go through the trouble of getting them into the Black Rock Depth, I start leaving them there. I might bring Aprilian out when I'm going to work because I can do, you know, I think I took her outside and had her killing some mobs just for rune cloth. There were some humanoids. I forget what they were. They were around some building on the other side of the entrance, the Burning Step entrance. I know there's a quest in there because I've done the quest. I don't remember where I got it from. That's another thing that's interesting about World of Warcraft is there is a lot of quests and there's a lot of things you have to keep track of. And if you'll find that you're coming into an area that you've been to before and you're like, okay, there's a quest, but where is it? It would be kind of sad if, and I'm glad it's this way because it would be kind of sad is if you went back to where you were and you were like, okay, now I jump here, now I do this, now I go over to this guy. You know what I mean? There's a lot of thinking that has to be done. It's not like playing Quake, replaying Quake or Doom or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it all handed to me on a silver platter. I like to have to think and explore, and that's a reason why I haven't and probably never will install Quest Helper.
Yeah. Quest Helper, it's kind of a helping, but it's also very distracting too. Because you know, you'll see something and you'll wonder. It's I don't know. Maybe from day one if you follow it, you know, step by step. But yeah, it can be confusing if you go off the beaten path, as it were. But anyway, so then the next day when I wanted to go back in, Rust Ruby was on, and I had, you know, my little weird setups. I had Real Fire and Aprilian and Aunt Relia, and then I think Aunt Relia had left for a moment to get something or get repaired or whatever, had hearthed home. And so I had left Iwari there. And I asked Russ Ruby if he would come in and hold my spot while I so I could summon real fire. Because when I have three people, I can't summon a third. I can't summon a fourth person in my group. So I need another person to come in. So I have to summon a person, have them come in, and then log off one of my persons, and then the three of them can summon the other person. That sounds kind of complicated. I'll put a diagram in the show notes. But
oh, good.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's nice to have warlocks for summoning, but, you know, even...
There's a meeting stone at the top. You could have gone back up to the meeting stone.
Yeah, but somebody told me we were over 60 and we wouldn't be able to use the meeting stone.
Well, I mean, you could use it at 60 because it's also the meeting stone for Upper Blackrock Spire, and that's 60.
Oh, well, I could have tried that. But even that's running back out again. So this was kind of easy just to summon. And Russ Ruby, who was another mage, but this was a level 70 mage. So the power and awesomeness was even more awesome.
Awesome. Heaps much more awesome, Emma.
Yeah. So it was kind of fun, and I learned a lot about how to, you know, well, when you're triple boxing the way I do, there's a certain rhythm to it, and, you know, since you're not controlling all three at the same time. And we ended up, you know, getting pretty far. I got the key to the prison, but I didn't have any of the quests. So, I did do some reading, and I found out where to get some of the quests, and I ended up finding out that that guy outside of the flame that we had killed all those times.
Mm-hmm.
He's a quest that you get from Kargath. So I had somebody run back to Kargath, get the quest, and then shared it with everybody. And then we killed him and went back and turned in the quest. And of course, I turned in the quest, and they went, oh, good, now can you do this?
Go back down there again.
Yeah, go back to where
while you're there.
And you're like, well, why didn't you tell me that when I was... No, wait, you can't do that.
So did you get the Shadow Forge key?
No, not yet.
Okay.
And I don't think I am, because I made another Mooncloth bag.
Why does that preclude you from getting the Shadow Forge key?
Because then I realized that if I ding 60 on Aprillion, she'll get the Mooncloth, Primal Mooncloth, and she can do that quest, and she can get two Primal Moon cloths, and she can make bags. So I think we're going to give up the whole... It was fun. We got some greens. I leveled up Aunt Rilia. I don't know. I mentioned a few podcasts ago that Aunt Rilia was a skinner, and she dropped skinning, and she started enchanting. And she did that terrible thing. And I can't help it. I'm not going to sit in Ogrimmar and beg people to take my enchants. So she was self-enchanting. It feels kind of ooky because, you know, you're doing the, oh, are you sure you want to replace +3 intellect with +3 intellect?
Let me think. Yes.
Yeah. So, but she had gotten to a point where she ran out of mats, and she was at like, I think level 150 or 160. And she had some bind on pickup stuff in her inventory that was needed 225. And so, you know, I'm thinking, I almost thought about the auction house, but Arc Inventory came to the rescue, and we're going to talk more about it later. But one of the best features about Arc Inventory is that when you click on an item, a little pop-up comes up, and within the pop-up, it tells you where else you have those items on your character.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And
across all your characters.
Yes, even in the guild bank. So, you know, I have my own guild. Well, now I have two guilds.
Sure, it doesn't search across guild banks.
It does cross the specific guild bank of the one you are on. If you've gone to, it does search across the ones that you're on currently. So, for instance, if I'm on my bank alt and my bank alt has access to the bank we live to serve, it shows me what's in that bank.
Yeah.
In that vault, and that's pretty cool. And it shows me what's in everybody's... I'm trying to think if it's... It seems to me that I've even seen it against across accounts, but that would be kind of weird. How would it...
I wouldn't think so. That would be unusual.
Yeah. So I'll put a link in the show notes, too. I'll put a picture in the show notes that shows it.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's only on the same accounts. But that was kind of neat, and it showed me that that I had some, thinking it was vision dust, I had 60 somewhere, one of my aunts, and in her bank, I think Vale, who's my main enchanter, had 60 in her vault, and another bank aunt had another 20. So we sent it all to Aunt Rilia, or I sent it all to Aunt Rilia, and there's one enchant that took me 30 levels or so. It was enchanting something to a bracer, and I just went one right after the other, right after the other. And, you know, of course,
very nice.
It's kind of boring, but she got it up to over 225 now, so I don't think she can go past 250 because she has to get to Aldor, and she's now on...
She should be able to get to 300.
Yeah, she can get to 300, right? But
yeah.
But either that, or she has to go into Alderman, or you know, change factions on the Elven chat. Which one is the jewel one? I thought I had it down. I thought I had a mnemonic for it, and I forgot my mnemonic.
Which one is the jewel one? You lost me.
There's two. You know, Aldor. Has the
Elder and Scryer.
Right. One has the enchanting and one has the jeweler trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember which is which. You don't remember.
But if she's only 60, right. you wouldn't have made her hated with either of them yet. You should be able to talk to either of them, shouldn't you?
You think? I don't know. It did say when I looked at the reputation that she was hated, but I'll check it out, you know. And I'm just scared because those big shardy things.
all they'll do is kill you. That's all right.
Right.
Come back again.
Yeah. So and you know, a little death never hurts you.
Nah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll try that out and see what happens. But it's nice to have her have the even having it at 225, 230. And some of the greens that we dropped in, Blackrock's death, she was able to disenchant. So I'm really glad I did that. And I'm hoping when she gets up to level 70, she'll be a high level disenchanter, enchanter. And, you know, that comes in handy so much because there's so much stuff. So many times you go into an instance and it's bind on pickup. And it's class specific, and the class isn't there, so hopefully she'll be able to help. And what else? Oh, that was another thing. While I was in the instance, Rust Ruby pulled out his pet because he was, you know, he's a mage, and I had my warlock, and I had my two hunters. Who all have pets, and Russ Ruby says, I have a pet too. And then he says, and he has another character. Sorry, I'm not remembering what the character was. But he says, I have a white moth. And I mentioned that, you know, I have a black market in white moths. And it turned out that he was a guy that whispered me a few weeks ago. I had a yellow moth on the Horde auction house, and he wanted a white one, and I managed to give it to him. And I actually gave it to him without charging him because he was so nice, but he sent me some gold anyways for it, so that was kind of cool.
Cool.
But it's a small world, and you never know that the person you help, the Horde you help today, might save your back another day, so it's kind of neat, you know?
Very good.
Yeah, it's there's all sorts of social lessons to be learned in the world of Warcraft. And what else? I've been just hanging out at BRD. Then when I'm not triple boxing and Aprilian, and I'm at work or something, and I'm only on one laptop, I take Aprilian outside the instance, and she just kills whatever around, just so she can level up. Oh, and I did PvP.
Did you?
Yes.
What did you do?
First I went to El Turok Valley. I did that last week, and then this week I also went to Arathi Basin,
mm-hmm.
which is the one where you have to run back and forth, and you know, it's kind of funny. I'm 59, and I really wanted to do it at 59 because that's when you're supposed to do it, but I'm still not the best PvP-er. But at this point, I don't really care. It's just fun. And I get kind of frustrated listening in Battleground chat. Oh, you guys are noobs. What are you doing over there? No. I don't care. I'm just here to have fun and kill as many things as I can. And if we win, it's cool. And if we don't, it's cool too. You know, it's this whole thing with this, oh, Horde never win at PvP. At AV in Alliance never wins at this and that. I think people need to loosen up and just have fun.
Yep, exactly.
You know, the whole thing is to get in there, play, have some fun, you know, kill some stuff, and then maybe you might win and get the extra two tokens or not, you know? But of course, you know, this the whole I'm being killed.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I can run. Can I run? Oh, they've got me in a kind of frozen thing. What am I? I can't even run. Oh. Alright. Oh, but you know what's kind of nice? You don't really die. You get kicked outside. I'm still alive. I'm not a ghost. I didn't end up in the graveyard. I just got kicked outside. Okay, so that was a live experiment on air. I went over to the outdoor side to try to, and those big crystal things. And they do this next.
There's an enchanting trainer in Thrallmar.
In Thrallmar, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, there's no way that Blizzard have made it so that you can, if you're an elder or a scryer, that you can't get to enchanting or jewel crafting trainers.
Okay.
Head out to Thrallmar and talk to an enchanting trainer out there.
All right, I'll take a look. All right, so I had a lot of fun, and I went over and over and over again, and that's fun too. In fact, we won AB twice. It's funny when you get into a rhythm and you start realizing how you can kill these guys and you start doing it, and it's fun. And I advise anybody to go into PvP. Yeah, I would suggest you wait till you're in your nines, although I think that's kind of unfair too. I don't know if there's a way to, you know, because it's hard to wait until you're in your nines. And now I'm 59 and I'm itching to be 60 because one thing is I want to be able to make some primal mooncloth on twice every 4 days instead of once. I made my second primal mooncloth bag, and this time I put it up on the auction house because I realized later on once I get up higher, I'll have more money, and then I can just buy primal mooncloth when I need it. You know, once I've gotten Aunt Rilia, Aprilian, Realfire out to Outland, and they're, you know, doing all their stuff together, money's gonna just roll in.
Oh yeah.
So I went ahead and sold it because this is what I'm worried about. I have 1,400. I had like 1,100 in my guild bank, and I know that once Aprilian hits 60, she's gonna want a mount. She's gonna need the training, and that's what, 900.
Is
it 500?
Oh, I don't remember what it is for the 60 now, to be honest.
Oh, excuse me. You don't remember those lower levels.
So long ago. I mean,
anyway. And so I wanted to have her have money. I want to keep have enough money in the bank to also buy some stuff. Oh, and the other thing was, Trishelle was, somebody asked her if she could make a brilliant necklace in guild chat. And I guess she said yes. Well, I know she said yes. And, but then I hadn't been on her in a while because I had Trishelle out going with Aprillion, but Trishelle's like 52 and Aprillion's just gone past her. So somebody sent me a PM on the guild boards to tell me, you know, where's my brilliant necklace? And I felt kind of bad because I know it was over a week. And in a week, you can actually out-level any kind of necklace that you might have needed. So I hope this person didn't out-level it too far. But they did me a great service because while I was rooting around in my jewel crafting bag of recipes of what I could do, I found something called Brilliant Glass that I had never made. So I made the brilliant necklace that the person wanted. And then I scrounged around between, you know, the guild, the auction house and stuff, and I got up the mats for the to make the brilliant necklace. And it's actually something that gives Trishelle a point. She was at 350, and once you hit 350 in jewel crafting, it's really hard to, you have to either...
Most professions are. Yeah. 350, I think you'd be on theirs, so, yeah.
Yeah, so you either have to...
It's tough.
Pay a lot for recipes, or hope for a drop, or you end up doing very expensive stuff. So Brain Glass has a 20-hour cooldown, and I made it, and I said, oh, pretty, and I tried to see what the prices were for it on the auction house, and it wasn't on the auction house, and I'm like, okay, how can something that's made at 350 that gives me a point not be on the auction house? Well, I looked at it again, and it said something shiny is inside. So I guess you have to open it up. It's like...
Yeah, it's a way of combining all the green gems into a blue gem.
Right, and so I got like a Dawn Store.
I think I added about 2.3 maybe, 2.4. Oh, was it that recent?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so anyway, so thanks to this guildie, I reignited my interest in jewel crafting. And of course, I went to the auction house and I went crazy and I bought all these mats and because I wanted to make another one right away. And then I sent it to Trishelle and she's getting ready to make another one. And then she says, oh, there's a cool down on this. Gotta love cool downs. But so she's ready. So when her next cool down is, she'll do that. And so now, I'm now leveling up Aprillion. She's now getting up to 50% on 60. She'll be 60 in probably another day or two. And of course, then she'll hit that wall, but that's okay. And I might just take another shot at PvPing. If anybody has any tips for Aprillion and PvP and Warlock, you know, send us an email at controlaltwow@gmail.com. And I guess that's about it for what I've been doing this week.
Cool. All right. Very busy.
Yeah. And how about you?
I've been busy too. I've been busy. I started off the week with running Hyde through an instance, my hunter, which I haven't done really any endgame instances with him. He's kind of just been grinding rep and farming type stuff. He hasn't really done any instant stuff. So we actually went through Arcatraz with him, which was fun. It was fun actually doing an instance as a hunter rather than a warlock or a healer. Something a bit different, haven't done for a while.
So a Sheo ran...
No, no, it was just a guild run.
I wasn't
toolboxing or anything.
Okay.
It was just somebody needed to do Arcatraz, and I said, I'll take my hunter just for something different, practice some trapping and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
That was a pretty good run. But mainly what I've been working on during the week is the paladin and the priest. because the end was near. So a shield and a shield been out in Blades Edge Mountain. They were 68 at the start of the week. And they last night hit 70. So,
oh, congratulations.
Yeah. I had a rather long stint at it yesterday. I can see it. I can see it. I'm going to hit 70 before I went to bed. And, yep, I just managed to do it.
They both hit 70?
Yep.
At the same time?
Cause, well, within about 5 minutes of each other.
Oh, cool.
There's like one bubble difference. And that was out in Netherstorm, same as where Jekyll and Hyde ding 70. It seems like, you know, I didn't even get anywhere near Shadow Moon Valley with them. And I've still got half the quests or so to do in Netherstorm, which I am going to do. I'm enjoying playing them so much, I'm just going to keep going on the quest lines and not worry about anything else. So they hit 70 immediately. Went down to Shadow Moon Valley and had to actually get the flight path because they hadn't actually been down there before. A shield hadn't. Got the flight path, got their flying mounts and took to the skies. That's always a good thing when you hit 70. And I actually remembered this time to go and get my level 70 training rather than getting all excited about just getting the flying mount and flying off. I have been known to actually hit 70 and forget to train. But
boy, that must be expensive.
Yeah. Yep. Between the training and the riding and the mount, I dropped... I don't know what it was. I mean, it was well over 1,000 gold on each of them. So,
wow.
But that's all right. So, my quest chain of the week is it looks like I might be doing, following on from that the quest chain that I talked about in the Grand last week. This one's in Blades Edge Mountain, and it's one that you don't. It's one of the ones where you get it by starting from an item that drops off a mob.
Right.
I was working on a quest and killing Fel Corruptors in Blade's Edge, and an item dropped. And unless you actually look at the item before you vendor it or attempt to vendor it, because a lot of them you can't sell. When I'm looking for bag space, I'm notorious just for destroying stuff. But this one's actually a damaged mask that drops from one of these mobs. And it starts a quest line that's mostly soloable, but it's much easier to do it with two characters. So I'll include a link to that start of the quest chain in the show notes. And basically what happens is the mask gets repaired and you have to go and use it to talk. It's like a communication mask, and you have to use it to go and talk to the Burning Legion at Camp 4 Janga in Blade Jed's Mountain and stir up some mischief by telling them that the people in the camp have revolted. And the thing with it is that the mask, and I haven't actually seen what happens, but when you actually start the chain and hand in this mask, the item that it gives you back, which is a repaired mask, has a 1 hour timer on it. So after an hour, it disappears from your inventory.
Oh no!
And you actually need the mask to. Like you have to put the mask on in order to talk into the communicator to hand in the quest and get the next part of the chain.
So
it's a bit different. Yeah, it's actually headgear, and it looks really weird. It's like a gas mask.
Oh wow!
So you've actually got to equip that and put it on in order to talk to this communicator to hand in the quest and get the next quest in line. So you've basically only got an hour to do it, and much of it's soloable. Though there's two points. Well, one is that the mask itself is on a timer, and the other is that one of the steps in the chain is that you need to activate these obelisks in order to summon Doomcrier. And to activate these obelisks, you have to get a key, which the Anger Guards have. And there's five keys you need to collect, and it's 100% drop rate. But the thing is, if you collect a key and activate one of the obelisks, by the time you get, if you haven't cleared, by the time you get to the fifth one, the first one is like powered down again.
Oh,
you've got to go back and start again. So you've really got to, you don't have to clear out the entire area, but you've got to clear it out enough so that you can run around in there between the obelisks and activate them, you know, without too much delay. And so you do that, and you activate all five of them, and Doomcryer gets summoned, and she's one of those tall, lanky-looking elite demon mobs, and she is soloable. If you know, a hunter and a warlock, I did solo it on Ashayo when I did it back on Ashayo. But you know, having two players there just makes it so much easier. So
yeah,
I did that.
Especially when one's a pally.
Yeah, pally and a priest. Yeah, took her down, no problem, and destroyed her and handed in that part of the quest. And I think this is there may be other quests, but I've never found them. This is the next part of this chain actually takes you into Death's Door. It's like this little internal part of Blade's Edge Mountain where there's all these demons and warp gates and everything. And it's a bit different. It's fun because one of the quests, you need to actually destroy two warp gates that are inside that area, and you destroy them by taking control of the fel cannons. You would have seen you would have had to kill fel cannons early on when you hit the Outlands
right.
in Hellfire Peninsula. So you actually take control of the fel cannon, and it's like a pet, and you use its ability to blast the gates and destroy them, and you need to hit it like, I'm not sure how many times it is, maybe 7 or 8 times, and there's a fairly long cooldown between being able to shoot it. And while you're doing this, imps are coming out of the warp gate and exploding on top of the cannon, causing it damage. And you know, the timing is such that the imps will destroy the cannon before the cannon can destroy the gate, unless you're killing the imps. So again, you could solo it, but it's a lot easier if you've got two people. So basically what I did was have the priest operate the cannon, and the paladin stood there in front of the gate and was just doing consecrate. And as the imps come out, because they don't have much hit points, the consecrate on the ground was just enough to kill them most of the time.
Oh, cool.
So and that was good. So it's a different quest in so far as, you know, it's not just kill stuff and collect items. You know, you've actually got some thinking and some planning going on. And the last step in the quest chain is to kill the Houndmaster, who's a level 68 elite. And I have had people in the past in the guild say, hey, you know, can somebody come and help me kill this 68 elite? I can't solo him in. Those people didn't read the quest very clearly, because you actually get a wand. And once you aggro the Houndmaster, you use the wand and it summons big treant ancient thing to help you. And it smacks the Houndmaster about like anything, and you know, it's very easy to solo when you get help from this ancient. And of course, because I had two characters there, both with a wand and the summoning bow, I basically almost just stood back and watched these two giant trees kill the Houndmaster, which was fun. And it's a great chain to complete, because the reward at the end of it all, there's actually a choice of 6 different neck pieces. So there's, you know, pretty much guaranteed to be
something for you.
Something for you, yep. Something for everyone. So look it up. It's a great, it's a fun quest to do. You know, grab a guildie and work through that chain. Heaps of fun. So they did that when they were, you know, 69. And you know, maybe just before they hit 69, so it's, you know, you don't need to be 70 to do it. It's quite doable. What else have I been doing? Once I hit 70 today, I've had a look at their professions. The priest is a tailor, and the paladin is a blacksmith. So I thought, oh, I better do some work on leveling those professions. So I got my tailoring up to 372, I think.
Oh, good job.
So I've got, 3 points to go. And I decided there's not really, I mean, I could just, you know, make some more stuff. And it's pretty impressive. You know, I haven't had to, I haven't actually bought anything in order to level that stuff. All the netherweave and the, I got from just questing and leveling. Yeah, I still had netherweave I'd collected from, you know, leveling Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh, okay.
And all the arcane dust, you know, I got from disenchanting, or having you disenchant all the green items you get from doing all the daily quests. Ashayo had been farming the netherweb spider silk a while back, so I had a couple of stacks of that.
Oh, wow. So that's the most expensive. That's one of the most expensive parts of.
Yeah, that stuff can be quite expensive.
And what about mooncloth and stuff like that? Are you, what is a shield? Which specialty does she?
Shadow cloth.
Shadow cloth, okay.
Yep, so I'm at a point now where I need to start farming the primal waters in order to start making the set for her. I've got about 20 shadow cloth already.
Mm-hmm.
Just from doing it every 4 days, and so I'll hit 375 just by making those. So I decided to stop, and there wasn't really that much point in getting those the last couple of points.
Yeah.
And on blacksmithing is wow. Trying to level blacksmithing, I was about 350, I think. 360 I got up to. By making sharpened adamantite stones, and just doing that's like expensive enough. Well, primal earth or motes of earth are the cheapest motes, you know, but still you need a lot once it's, you know, especially once it's turned green, trying to get those last few skill points out of it before you turn to something that's even more expensive.
Right.
And I had a look to see what I could actually start making that would give me skill points, and basically it's stuff that you buy off Scryer. It's Scryer rep gear. And I was honored, so I did buy those patterns, but the mats for them was just ridiculous. So I had a look around, and the other thing that you can use to level is actually a bind-on pickup blacksmithing pattern. For the Felsteel gloves, and it drops in Alcani crypts. So I had a bit of a read, and there's people going, oh, yeah, you can solo that. You get in there, and it drops off a monk, and you know, there's a monk near the start, and you just keep going in and killing it and resetting it. And I thought, oh, sounds a bit tough. You know, I've just hit 70. I'm not really decked out at all, but I'll give it a try. Why not? So I head down there and jump into the instance and get into this position waiting for the monk to pat around. And the first time he came around, I started attacking him, and he summons an ad to help him out. And I just about took down the ad, and the priest got mind-controlled. My paladin got mind-controlled and turned around and ran over and killed my priest.
Oh, no.
I was like,
how painful must that be to have to watch?
That's not very good.
No.
I'll give it one more try. So I released and ran back and went back in there and tried it again and made sure I was using stun and silence and trying not to give it a chance to cast any horrible mind control spells and actually got him down. I actually killed him. I thought, oh, that was all right, but he didn't drop the patterns. One more try. So I ran back and did it all again. And all right, one more try. And I ran back. The third time I killed him and this pattern dropped. So, there's people in the forum saying, oh, yeah, I'm up to my 27th kill and still haven't got it yet. So, third kill and I got this the design for Felsteel gloves, so I was pretty happy about that. So but I'll get some skill points in leveling that. And then I started looking at, you know, it takes 6 Felsteel bars to make these gloves. Although that doesn't sound too bad. But you look at what Felsteel itself needs, and you need 2 Fel ore. No, it's hardened Felsteel.
Oh.
Hardened Felsteel. And so you needed like 2 ore became 1 bar, and then you combine these 2 bars, and you needed, you know, 2 Eternium bars as well, which is, you know, 2 Eternium ore each. And it turned out like I needed, just to get 2 skill points, I needed, you know, 50 Eternium ores and 70 Fallon ores. That's 2 skill points? My God. I'm never going to get to 375 on this. So kudos to people that have got blacksmiths into 375. I'll tell you what, that's going to be a long slog.
And then, of course, whatever you make isn't going to be worth as much as what you put into it.
Well, that was the other reason why I really wanted to go and get these Felsteel gloves, because they weren't a bind on equip. The typical things that you'd use to level that are just the bind on equip gear that you buy from Scryers, you know, there's no way you'd make any money on that. And I thought, well, at least if I go in and farm this and try and get this and use it to make these, you know, maybe the market won't be so flooded with them.
Right.
Because you have to have been in the instance as a blacksmith and you know, managed to get this drop.
Oh, okay.
In order to do it. So, you know, it's not like you can buy it on the auction house. So hopefully I'll be able to sell those and, you know, at least, you know, get close to breaking even, not just spending a complete fortune on leveling it. So if there's anybody knows any other blacksmithing patterns that are, you know, reasonably good drops in instances, drop us a note. Let me know. I'd really like to get my blacksmithing up. And that's really about. I feel like it's been a pretty full week. There was one other big item that Ashaya was involved in this week with the Nightlife Guild. We went in and for the first time took down Magtherodon.
Oh, congratulations!
We actually killed him. Hey.
Anything good drops?
Lots of good stuff drops. Yep, and actually the tier piece for the chest for the warlock dropped, and I bid on it, but other people bid more, so I missed out. But that's all right. We figured out how to do him now, so now
it's going to be a piece of cake.
Well, it's not a piece of cake, but you know, things have got to go right. The thing with Magtherodon is that. There's these cubes in there that everybody has to click at the right time and not move for the right amount of time. And if you start too early and it runs out, you know, or you start late, then, you know, it's basically a wipe. So, again, it's all about coordination and getting people to do the right thing at the right time. Mm. So we've done it once, so we can do it again.
Right, so I just wanted to add, while you were talking, I did go to Thralmar, and there is an enchanter there, so now I feel silly. So I don't have to worry about switching. The only other thing would be whether or not, you know, what patterns that I could get off of the Aldor as opposed to Scryer, because that's a big debate, you know, and... The funny thing is, a lot of people like me had gone to Shat ahead of time, because Shat's a great place to put your Hearthstone. You can use the portals there to go to the 4 major cities. So yeah, anytime you need to go somewhere, you can just Hearth home and bam, you're there. I know a lot of people prefer to put it near near where they're questing. But this makes it so much easier, in my opinion. So I've been in Shat probably since, you know, the Burning Crusade. And but back then when I picked an inn, I just went to an inn and I wasn't even thinking. The only time I did put some thinking into it was when I was doing jewel crafting on Trishel. Trishel, she changed her hearth early on, which turned out to be a good thing. But I guess it really doesn't matter that Aunt Rilly is Aldor, because she doesn't have any crafting skills. She's just a Oh, I wonder if there's an enchanting pattern on the Squire side that she might need.
I'd be surprised if there wasn't. I mean, but I mean, there should be the same amount of patterns for any profession on either side. They're just different ones. I'm pretty sure that's how they do it.
Oh, okay. So, and anyways, if she sees something that she wants on the other one, I know at level 64 she can get the quest to change. To change the side. You know, there's a lot of suck-up quests in World of Warcraft.
Yep.
Hello, I want to be friends with you. Will you take this item and like me? Or, I killed these people for you. Will you be my friend now? I don't know if that's a good thing. A good thing we want to teach, you know, our youngsters, you know, the art of sucking up. Of course, we teach them that anyways. And I'm going to digress for one time. The Rudolph the Reindeer song always makes me sad. I don't think that's a good thing. You can pick on somebody and not like them until they become something useful and become get in tight with somebody famous like Santa Claus. And then all of a sudden, everybody wants to be his buddy. I think that's terrible. I think, first of all, Santa Claus shouldn't have let those other reindeers pick on Rudolph just because he was different. And once Rudolph did become famous, he should have said, you know, guys, I'm turning you in. And then all those other reindeers should have been kicked off. But, of course, sorry. That's something I really...
Trust you to look on the sad side of Christmas.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Anyhow,
all right. So
next,
Ark inventory.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you.
Did you have any wonderful tips on Ark inventory, or was there something else you wanted to cover before we jump into that?
Well, first I wanted to say that this is what Aprilian's going to be doing next week. She's going to be doing a little bit more PvP before she hits 60. She's at 50% or 49%, so it's going to be in another week. So anybody that has any ideas, any tips for where she should go as an warlock, and send them to controlaltwow@gmail.com, controlaltwow. And she's also then going to be doing the Mooncloth. Although, I don't know, is there any other reason for her to go anywhere else? But I really want 20 slot bags on everybody. So I think that's where I'm going to go. And I'm sorry, priests who need the moon cloth for your whatever set. That's what I want to do. So now we'll get into Ark inventory. I absolutely love Ark inventory. I feel like I want to do one of those commercials like those. I don't know if you have these commercials over in Australia, but there's a whole series of commercials that were done by the same people, obviously, where these people can't find their keys, they have a hard time shaving, they're tweezing their eyebrows, their produce goes bad, they can't sort their Tupperware, their storage containers in their cabinets, and, you know, in the beginning of each episode, they're going, oh, I can't find this, oh, this is terrible, and they all look like, you know, dysfunctional people from the same family. And then some announcer comes in and says, but wait, if you want to be able to do this, this, and this, we have this, and that's not all. So I want to do this with Ark inventory. If you're tired of moving your inventory around in your bags and sorting them, if you hate having to constantly move stuff around and not be able to find which item is where, Ark inventory is here for you. And there's so much to it. If you just open Ark inventory, and of course you can find it at, you know, any, just do a search on Google. Did we put a link in the show notes last week? Well, I'll put one in this week, too.
Yeah, put one in this week.
I mean, you know, it's Google is your friend. And you know what? Anybody looking for anything in World of Warcraft, you know, a lot of times guildies will say it and, you know, people will help them out. And you'll see it in trade and you'll see it in, you know, in trade chat. Or, well, it's supposed to be trade, but it's really just world track.
Awful chat.
Yeah. Where do I find, you know, just Google it. And it'll tell you where you find. Although, I have to say, maybe I'm being a little bit condescending because I do realize that some people, and I didn't know this, have a hard time alt-tabbing or, you know, tabbing out to another, to the browser. So it's easier for them to ask a question rather than go over. Do you?
Mm.
Do you find it hard to alt-tab or?
Well, I run in windowed mode, so not at all.
Right, okay.
Windowed mode and two screens, it's like, I've always got my browser there beside it and doing something.
Well, I know when I'm running anything, whenever I'm playing World of Warcraft, I've got oodles of windows open, several browsers, because I use multiple browsers for, I have several Gmail accounts and several multiple accounts of other things, so I have to have a browser open for... I triple box in reality. I triple box everything. So, you know, if you have a question, try Google first. You know, it'll probably explain it a lot easier too than somebody in chatting. But I digressed a little bit. So Arc Inventory, at its basic feature, it does three really cool things. One is it lets you see all your bags in one window, and it lets you move the window around, and you can use the arrows at the top to go to different bags, including, and I like this, you can see a list of everything that you're wearing. You know, instead of going to the character window,
mm-hmm.
It actually shows, you know, everything you're wearing in one screen without having to go around in a circle.
Yeah, so I mean it's basically the locations that it shows you, you know, bags, key ring, bank, guild vault, your mail, what you're wearing.
And even your mailbox.
Yeah.
And it shows stuff. Okay, so that's the first thing it does. The other thing it does is it shows all your characters, Horde and Alliance. There was another one I used that only showed you of the same faction, but it shows all what you have on what each you can switch between the characters. Those two things are just cool. The other thing, the simplest thing to do with it, and it's very there's some things that are very complicated, and that's another thing. It's scalable to what you want to put into it. If you just go into the user settings, go to sorting, and then go to user defined. You can click on item type and subtype, name and category, and then you can move them up. You can decide which priority.
Yeah, change the sort order.
Right. So,
yeah.
And the neatest thing is you can use reverse names. By using reverse names, then you have the thing that's the biggest category at the end. For instance, dust will now be sorted by dust vision instead of vision dust. And
yep.
They'll all be together. So that mm-hmm. by itself is just a great feature. But you can then set up slots that specify what's in each slot. And that can be according to what they call system, which is... I'm trying to look at it while I'm doing it. System, which is things that are predetermined. Consumables, container, drinks. You know, you take a look. There's a whole list of things. But you can also go by skill. Now, I'm not very fond particularly of the skill class because what it tries to do is kind of similar to what the class-specific bags are. But I find that sometimes it puts different things that you wouldn't necessarily think of. For instance, herbalism you would think would be all the flowers. But sometimes it leaves some flowers out and it takes some things that might be in a different category. But you can fool around with it. And it also has some class-specific ones. Do you use the class ones at all?
No.
Yeah. I don't know what it uses specifically to determine what's for the class, but anyways, it has that there. But the neatest thing is it also has rules. And rules can be customizable by whatever you want. You can do, for instance, on my alt at the auction house on the Alliance side, I have rules that tell it to put the silver dragon hawkling in one slot, the golden dragon hawkling in another slot, and the specific snakes in each slot. And moss in each slot. So you can actually specify what you want in a slot. Now, the only problem, and Ashaya will tell you about that, is that it just sticks things in, and it sometimes it's hard to find what you recently put in them.
Yeah, so I mean, I really like what it can do. I mean, the other thing that it can do is search. So if you're not sure, and that's really good for like our guild vault with all six tabs, even though it's reasonably well organized, you know, trying to figure out, well, yeah, is this item in there or not? You can actually do a search and it'll actually tell you where it knows that you've got that. So you don't have to, to actually identify one and highlight it and see where it is. You can just do a search and it'll tell you whether it's in your bags or the guild vault. But yeah, the thing that I don't like about it, and maybe play around and there's a way around it, but with the sorting, it auto sorts constantly. So if you pick a quest item up and it's a quest item that you need to use, you open up your bags and it's like, well, before it was auto sorted, I pretty much knew where something new that I pick up is going to turn up in my bags because, there's a particular bag that's pretty much always empty in it and it's going to be in that bag. So I'm only looking in 16 slots and more than likely half of them are already full and I knew that. And so I've narrowed it down to 8 slots. But with the auto sorting, and I don't know what the icon for this item was because I just picked it up. I can't, you've got to really look to find it sometimes, which is annoying. And the other thing about it is, and I know this is tunable and I need to play with it, is it will, if you've got your bag open when you pick something up, it won't auto-sort it. It'll put it up at the top so you can, sometimes grab things that way. But there's lots of actions that it'll do that will automatically close your bag. And, of course, as soon as it's closed and you open it, it's sorted again.
Right, yeah.
The classic was the other day I was in Serpent Shrine Cavern and we had to, in order to, I've explained it before, in order to summon Lurker, he's a big fish, you've actually got a fish. So I've opened up my bags and got my fishing pole and equipped it. And, of course, in doing that, my main hand and my off hand got put in my bags. And I'm fishing, trying to catch Lurker to start the event. And Lurker got fished up and summoned, and I went into combat. And one of the things it does as soon as you go into combat, it closes your bag. So it's like, oh, okay, open my bag. And it's like, now where's my main hand and my off hand? I've got to fight this boss, and I'm equipped with his fishing pole. And it's like, oh, no. So that was a bit of a panic trying to quickly find that and swap them out. So it's not perfect, but I guess the benefits to it far outweigh the couple of little annoyances like that. So
give it a try. I found sometimes, a couple of times when I couldn't find something, you can quickly go to the menu and click on enable, and then you go back to your regular bag. And sometimes that way it looks more what you're used to, and you can find it a little bit easier.
Yeah, well, it's actually shuffled everything around now.
Now in your bag.
So I did go back to my normal looking bags one day, and it's like, I have no idea where everything is anymore. It's actually moved everything around. So.
But, I mean, I find that it's changed my whole life, and wow. And I want to give a shout-out to Randy Deluxe.
He did put us onto it.
Yes. Yep. He put us onto it. He's that's the co-host of The Instance. By the way, that's an excellent podcast. If you're listening to this and you haven't been listening to The Instance.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know if that would happen.
I don't think so.
I also wanted to say one other thing before we get to emails. And I don't know if I should say this, but I just want to thank again Sean and Patrick for letting me do the How I Wow podcast. And it was kind of weird because there's only 3 comments on the website. Oh, granted, there aren't a lot for everybody else. I think Felicia got 9 and the most was Randy. Was that? No. Who was the last one? The couple?
It was Randy and Rachel.
Randy and Rachel. Yeah, they got 14. But I guess one of the people that commented on the podcast didn't like my voice. So anyways, do the best I can.
Can't please everybody all the time.
All right. So now I'm going to go on to email. You want to read the email we got?
Okay. Right. Good afternoon. And this... This came from somebody that actually included a real-looking email address, so they were very brave. We're obviously not going to say what that was. Good afternoon. I was going to talk about my views on alts, which I have many. I play both factions, but my main is a 70 Alliance warrior. But then, Aprilian, you mentioned how you enjoy skinning mobs that the Alliance players downed, but yet you get very irritated when your neutral auctions are intercepted, as stated in number 63. Are you kind of contradicting yourself? You do not like it when someone intercepts your auctions, but you enjoy swiping skins from mobs that Alliance downed. I never really knew this sneaky aspect of bottom scanner until I heard it from your podcast several casts ago. But I tell you, I think I need to spread the word on the Alliance side on Earthen Ring on the finer points of its use. Lol, perhaps if you ask for forgiveness from some lonely Alliance player, I will reconsider letting the cat out of the bag on how to use bottom scanner. For me, if I see a horde in trouble, I will always help them if they acted respectfully to me. Regards, Patrick. P.S. I do have an alt in AIE. Thanks, Patrick. Yes.
Oh,
very
wow.
Good point.
Yes.
Very good point.
Oh, yes. I guess if I can take advantage, then someone else can take advantage. And, yeah, you kind of humbled me there, Patrick. But I want to point out something. Notice Patrick didn't mention his race. Could that be a 70 Alliance gnome warrior? You know, the funny thing, I just want to point out, the person that actually is using bottom scanner on me on the auction house is a horde character. But, yeah, I know the point you're trying to make. There is something in the game that lets you have an advantage. And, as he mentioned, I was being a bit of a hypocrite. I've now, and it's kind of funny, I've now been placing all my items much higher. And not too high, but like I did some primal life, which I guess normally goes about 22 gold. I did it at like 5 gold. So I think there's a point where it doesn't instantly flash on the screen. So
no, I think you just got lucky. The bottom scanner is, if bottom scanner sees something like that, it's gonna buy it out.
Yeah.
Even if you made it.
But then
17 or 18 gold, if it thinks you can make a few percent profit on it, it'll pop up.
Unless you can modify
that to say, don't tell me about things and unless I make a 20 gold profit on it.
Right, unless I'm actually stealing.
I'm not sure what the default is.
So I've been more careful, which has been good because it turns out that I do need more gold over on the Alliance side because I just tell you, stuff on the AH on the Alliance auction house is cheaper than on the Horde. So
that's because there's so much more of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Supply and demand.
Yep.
I'm actually trying to build up the blessings deck for the Dark Moon Fair. And there's about, on any given day, on average, maybe 2 or 3 cards on the Horde side. And over on the Alliance side, there's more like a dozen.
Oh, cool.
So there's obviously a lot more Alliance players, despite the AIE attracting a good couple of thousand to the Horde side on Earthen Ring. It's still obviously more high-level alliance on Earthen Ring.
Right. And I'm not going to say anything about 13-year-olds, because it's sick. The alliance of all
except
ages.
Except you just did.
Sorry. So, I want to hear next week on PvP. I'm going to go more with... I'm actually going to ding 60. Actually, I want a PvP with I want a multi-box PvP. Have you ever? No?
No. No.
Okay.
I don't think I'd ever go there. I mean, if I did get into PvP, I think that's one area where I wouldn't even attempt a multi-box.
And I apologize to Patrick. And I wonder who he is on AIE. But I would love to hear about your alts, especially since you have both sides. So send me an email. A shout out to Glantha. He's still moving and stuff, so we won't hear from him for a while. But he does have internet in his new place, so maybe he'll get on. I don't know. I just think it's hard to avoid the lure of World of Warcraft.
It sucks you in, doesn't it?
Yes. And that's the beauty of it. It's a good thing. It's a feature, not a bug. So I think that's about it for today.
I should just do a shout-out to Merton, okay. who helped me out in with a shield and a shield out in Blade's Edge. I soloed, for want of a better term, with those two, all the group quests out there. But when I got to Gok, who's a very large dude that you elite, that hits very hard, and even with an NPC that helps you with that quest, I couldn't. I took two or three tries and couldn't get him down, and Merton came along and did a whole bunch of DPS and then pulled aggro and died, but it was enough to help me get him down, so thanks, Merton.
Alrighty. Oh, and I just wanted to give one more shout-out to someone named River Sky, who's in our guild, and he also has a podcast called Despair and Video Games. I know that he's mentioned our podcast on his in his podcast, so I want to...
What is it again?
It's called Despair and Video Games, but I want to give a warning. This podcast is really not for anybody. Well, it is, but it's for a very, very small group of people. So he's a great guy. I love listening to the podcast. It was very...
What's it about?
It's about video games and I want to say young men angst.
Okay.
That's a PG way of putting it. Very because this is not a PG. The video, this podcast is not PG. But if you're open-minded and you had a warped sense of humor and maybe some horrible things happened to you in your childhood.
Well, all right. I'm off. I'll check out the podcast. I'll let you know what I thought next week.
And you might have got smacked upside the head with a board at some point. This might be the podcast for you.
Excellent. Sounds good. So it's got an explicit tag then.
Yes. So if you are anywhere normal and you have some kind of moral code and you are mentally healthy, don't go listen to this podcast. But anybody else, go ahead and check it out. It's called Despair and Video Games, and it's River Sky. Okay, so that's going to be it.
What a plug.
I know.
He's going to be so happy with you.
I debated plugging, and then I realized, I just want to give all the caveats that I can. And if you listen to the Despair and Video Games podcast and anything bad happens to you, please don't blame me.
Alrighty.
Okay. Because, you know, there are so many podcasts out there, and it's podcasting is a wonderful venue, and there is a nook for everyone, and I think River Sky has found his nook. God bless him. All right, so this is...
Oh, I'm so curious now.
This is Imprillion, signing off for episode 66 for Control-Alt-Wow for the Horde.
And this is Ashaya for the Horde.
It's been real. May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Al-Dir Shalah.
Go in peace.